Okay, I've got a couple of questions to start. Maybe some others have written some on their question. One that really, Donald, takes us back to what we were talking about last week with John Wyatt, and some of us watched the program on BBC Two last week. A new test for Down syndrome will give the opportunity to terminate all fetuses with it. Is a world without Downs a great leap forward, or is it infanticide dressed as eugenics?
Okay, have you got a hard one?
Yeah, that's the easy question to start. Do you want to try that one?
Right, well, I think that here you're getting into the goals of some pieces of technology or some ideas, and I think the idea of testing the unborn raises this in all sorts of different ways, because there's already ways you can test for Down syndrome when the woman is still pregnant, and I think this is where my view of what we're all supposed to be doing and the medicine then becomes part of this, is to try to alleviate the illnesses that come about, or to help people to cope with the limitations that come about. But and to have a test which, whether it's its design or just something that happens to develop along the way, that's going to eliminate a certain group of people is really problematic, and I think it would be a version of infanticide or just another type of abortion, to eliminate certain people with certain traits simply because the test shows that they have them. And I think then getting at the bigger question is, well, would the world be better off without without the condition of Down syndrome? I think that's where, when you talk with many families, that a Down syndrome child brings an awful lot to the family, brings a lot to people's, to what they understand about the meaning of life and what somebody who isn't perfect is able to contribute. And I think that's where you would have serious problems in terms of not welcoming in someone who's less than perfect, but instead saying we don't want these types of people, and that we would lose an awful lot of the value that that people with that condition can bring.
Okay. Here's another question for you as a pharmacist, or one in the pharmaceutical industry. What is a drug? I think that's what the question says. What is a drug?
Well, I think a drug is a chemical that we have figured out a way that it will do something, when we take it externally or take it into our bodies. So they ultimately, almost all of them would be drug or would be small chemicals. Although more and more now, you can have even proteins can be used as drugs. So it's sometimes there are things that are natural. You take something like insulin, we naturally produce it, but for somebody with diabetes who's missing it, we can give it externally. Others are, like aspirin. We don't produce aspirin ourselves, but people who found it originally in the willow tree and then figured they could adapt it a little bit, and then you have something that treats a headache. So all in the bottom line is that there are chemicals that occur sometimes naturally, sometimes within our own bodies, sometimes within nature, and sometimes they're just manufactured, but they have some type of a physiological effect on us, usually to improve things. That we then put into this category then of taking them in order to get some type of an effect from them.
Here's the other bigger question on the basis of what you were saying, Donald. I was thinking about, you were really giving us a fairly negative assessment of enhancement.
Yep.
Are you saying from, say, a Christian point of view or a Christian world and life view, Christians shouldn't be involved in enhancement?
Well, I think there are additional things in or additional beliefs and factors in a Christian worldview that make enhancement, I think, more problematic than from just a secular or philosophical perspective. I think the as a Christian, I think the pursuit of perfection in this world that is tied in with some of these enhancements is fundamentally problematic, because I think from a Christian perspective, we aren't going to find perfection in this world that, as I see the Bible describing it, it is going to take God recreating the world and bringing a new heavens and new earth about before we will have the perfection that I think some of these philosophers are describing and leading technologists to try to move in that direction. So I think it's that's where I'd see a fundamental issue. But I think there's also there's real challenges there, because there's not a clear-cut line between treatment and enhancement, and I think there are ways that we can enhance our own lives, or we try to enhance the lives of others through helping them, or sharing of our resources and that. And some people would say, well, then that is just enhancement. You're making their lives better than what they would have been naturally. And so I think that's where I wouldn't say that just enhancement, completely is opposed to a Christian perspective. In some ways, I think God wants to enhance our lives in many different ways, and it's more about the means by which we allow him to do that, rather than seeing technology and science as the means towards some of those ideas.
Great. Anybody else want to chip in with a question? Norman?
Thank you.
Take me back to your sports statistics. If you could be guaranteed that you would win all the competitions over the next 5 years by taking drugs, you wouldn't be found out. And then with that particular one, could you spell out what's the upside and the downside of doing that?
I think the upside is that somebody will feel like, for 5 years, that gives me a chance to get maybe two sets of Olympics in. I'll have the joy of accomplishing all of that, of getting world records or whatever it might be. And then the secondary benefits of that, with maybe it's, from a professional basis, you might have all the money you can. You know what to do with, and feel like you really enjoy yourself. You get people's respect and all of that. I think I'd say that is that's what's attracting people. And I think the downside is that we may have many more years than. Than the 5 years that we could actually enjoy other things. And I think then what God's perspective on this could be is that the fame and glory that you would have, the comfort and the riches that you might have in this world, is not going to be as satisfying as the joy of giving to others, of the joy of having giving loving relationships with other people, of focusing on others rather than your own self, of having the joys of Christian fruit in your life as compared to records and medals and fame and that sort. So I think it's probably the upside is a set of accomplishments that fundamentally are not going to be as rewarding as I think God has designed us to have. And it would be the biggest downside would be the lost chance to attain what I think God wants us to attain in this life and in the future through pursuing things His way.
To what extent do you think that the first enhancement in humanity was actually in the Garden of Eden, in the eating of the forbidden fruit, and that now if we push something like enhancement to its limits where it sees people in some shape or form, be it electronically, living forever, that whole concept, and you will see yourself as God?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting what Adam and Eve were tempted with there, that there was a boundary put on them in terms of where they could eat from and the knowledge that they would have, that Satan tempted them to say, you can know things as God does. And so I think that is part of what posthumanism rejects, the idea that there are limitations on human nature or that boundaries, whether they've been put there by God or religion or science, are things that just ought to be burst through rather than things that if we try to go past them, then we're going to run into problems. So I think that ultimately is what posthumanism is offering. It is the idea that you can be the God of your own life, if not, you know, a bigger chunk of life around you, and that is the kind of the ultimate temptation that we've been facing throughout human history.
A lot of what you said this evening is quite scary, especially the bit about sort of one global authority looking at who can do what and where and how you can be enhanced. So for the sake of argument, if it wasn't all me, and this enhancement that could be coming down the line, be it 100, 200 years' time, made us all very compassionate people, made us all very loving and caring people than we are already, would it therefore be wrong?
I think there's actually one of the areas where this is really being pushed is in what they call moral enhancement, that some of the people in Oxford are saying that, look, education, religion, politics has not worked to make people better in an ethical sense, therefore we ought to try a pharmaceutical approach. And I think that's where you run into the limitations of our understanding of human behavior, that, maybe we can have some drugs that will make us more compassionate in certain ways, but there are always going to be unknowns, uncertainties, possible side effects. And I think that's where God offers a different approach that isn't purely dealing with the chemistry and the physics, and says that to really change in ways of becoming more compassionate or more ethical, it's going to take His transformation of our souls. And so that's where I think for me personally, I would come back to saying that really is where the goal that's being offered is not illegitimate, but that the means by which it's going to be accomplished are not going to be physical and technological.
I just had a question around, you might have been following the recent story whereby I think the first child was born with DNA from three parents. So one of the parents provided the mitochondrial DNA for the cells, but I think that DNA didn't otherwise impact the characteristics of the child. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that from a Christian perspective, and if, hypothetically, there was a way to check or to assess DNA before an embryo was formed so as to remove potential deficiencies in the DNA and prevent things like, certain diseases from occurring. Would that be... Have you any thoughts on that from a Christian perspective or even a personal perspective?
Yeah. Yeah, these areas are getting just, you know, really, really complicated and challenging. I think part of the issue with this is that there has been pretty much a self-imposed moratorium by the scientific world on trying to or on manipulating germ cells, either eggs, sperm, or embryos. And a large part of the reason for that is the uncertainty of knowing what's going to happen, especially if you have to wait until the person is born or becomes an adult before you discover exactly what has happened. So it has been mostly a self-imposed moratorium by science to say we just can't predict what may happen. So that even if you cut out a gene for some disease that is known to be the source of the problem, the bigger issue is that we don't know what else that gene could be tied into. So that even if it is a defective gene that could be connected in other ways to other traits that we won't see until much later on. So I think it's more of taking a precautionary approach that I think I would lean towards not going down that route. But it certainly is a challenge because it seems to very clearly fit into a treatment perspective in terms of if you have the gene, you know it's for a disease, you just cut it out and replace it with a good version that eliminates the disease completely. So I think it's really hard to be really clear cut from just what the goal of it all is. But again, you know, part of it is that the numbers of genes that people believe to exist in our DNA has it's come down to, I think, about a third of what they would have said, like when I was in college in the 70s and 80s. The belief was that there's about 70,000 different genes, and that number has been drastically reduced as they've realized that actually every gene is tied into several things. They're not 70,000 distinct genes. And so it's actually, as they discover more, the whole area is becoming more and more complicated and more challenging to think that we ever will be able to just cut and paste with our genes like that in a way that won't avoid serious problems down the road.
Donald, could I maybe broaden the question a little bit and seek your views on a separate subject? You have been talking about the application of technology to people. God gave us dominion over the natural world, and we are increasingly applying technology to nature, particularly in the production of food. What are your views on that? Are there limits in your mind on how far we should apply technology to nature?
I do think that there should be some limits, but that I wouldn't have the same sort of, I guess, concerns about us trying to adapt the human nature. And I think that's where, in many ways, we have been doing things with the genes of various species through breeding that maybe even when you're not physically moving genes around, but that ultimately by selecting various breeds and traits that there is a change going on there. And so I think because we have been given that dominion, that then there's not the inherent opposition to that I would have about changing human genes in nature, but that we also need to reflect then on what the goals of that are. You know, there have been some things done in terms of making rabbits that glow in the dark, and you know, while that is certainly a nice curiosity, you got to think about the welfare of those rabbits or what ultimately is the purpose of doing that. Just like with using animals in research, there may be legitimate goals of doing that, but just to kind of create some curiosities or just to satisfy some curiosity, we shouldn't be just saying, well, then you can do whatever you want with the animals or the plants. And ultimately, it should go towards looking at what actually is going to nurture and help develop those species for themselves, and then what else can tie into to kind of nurturing humanity, providing treatments through nature for others, providing food, that type of thing.
I find myself under a bit of tension here and listening to what you say. And I don't really know how to frame the question, but I'll try.
Okay.
What do you, would you make any distinction between a believing Christian who prays that God would intervene on their behalf, say for a child or a relative with a serious illness or deformity, and a non-believing person who would go to the pharmacist and say, look, you have a drug here that will help me, and I want to take that line, so that, or is the Christian praying for an enhancement the same way as the pharmacist is offering an enhancement? Do you see? I'm not framing it very well, but I see a real tension here.
Okay,
between the faith request from God and the natural request from the pharmacist.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if I am getting exactly what you're getting at, and I think part of what I would say is that I don't know if you're trying to put forward a dichotomy between a faith approach or a medical approach. And
I'm trying to say, what's the difference, right?
Well, I think that, like the last question was about the God has given us dominion over this world and to use it for his purposes, but also for our own purposes, that I would see that, my own view is that turning to God for help, turning to him to pray, asking him to heal a loved one or to, restore something that's been lost through illness or to give relief in the midst of pain, that all of those would go hand in hand with also going to the pharmacist and asking for their best pain medication, or to, say you're involved in research to trying to find new treatments, or encouraging the government to fund new treatments or things like that. So that I wouldn't separate them into saying that a good Christian would only pray about this, or that it would be irresponsible to also use whatever medicine has to offer along with praying. And I think it gets at different dimensions of how we cope with illness, that there is going to be uncertainty. The drugs may work, but there's few drugs that work 100% of the time with zero side effects, and that to ask God to protect our loved one from side effects or to have the drug be as effective as possible while taking it is legitimate. And, I think you see a sort of a minor example of that when Paul tells, Timothy to take a little bit of wine for his stomach, that, the idea that we're not supposed to use what medicine has to offer and only take deal with our struggles through prayer, I don't think is what God wants for us. Does that get at some of the stuff you're...
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Well, leaves us all thinking tonight. We have kind of unwritten rule, we'll try to finish around 9:30. So on your behalf, can I say a big thanks to Donald for for coming tonight. Maybe we could give them a round of applause.
Thank you.